The Gospel reading, John 3, reading from the 14th verse. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. A preacher sees he's losing the congregation, so he blurts, "I spent last night in the arms of another woman." The congregation now was all ears. So the preacher went on, "She's my own dear mother." I'm not willing to say context is everything, but it is important. The words of our text are very well known to you, I'm sure. But do you know the context? This is the context. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, and the Son of Man must be lifted up." Then it goes on with the rest of the text we read. Do you see? Our text is a sharp rebuke of a Jewish teacher named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus at night with flattering words. "Rabbi, we know you come from God as a teacher." To this one who came at night, Jesus says, "Men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." Nicodemus, as a teacher in Israel and part of the Jewish ruling body, the Sanhedrin, had specific duties to perform. One was to evaluate people who claimed to speak in the name of the Lord. John 1 says Jewish officials were sent out to evaluate the ministry of John the Baptist. Well, if Nick wasn't one of them, then he at least heard their report rejecting John's ministry. Yet Nick comes saying Jesus is a teacher from God and that God is with him. And what does Jesus say? He tells this prestigious church official that he wasn't even able to see the kingdom of God, let alone make judgments for it. Why? Because he wasn't reborn by water and the Spirit. He hadn't been baptized by John the Baptist. But any talk of water being able to give the Spirit and some sort of rebirth, well, that was totally impossible to Nick. "How can these things be?" he asked in disbelief. Then Jesus goes into this wonderful statement about he, the Son of Man, had eternal origins, and how as Moses had lifted up the bronze serpent to save from physical death, so he'd be lifted up on a cross to give eternal life. Jesus speaks the familiar words of John 3:16, saying, whoever believes in the only begotten Son is not condemned. But then Jesus tells Nick that he is condemned already because he doesn't believe in God's only begotten Son. See, Nick has not fared very well with his nighttime visit. Do you think we fare any better? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is found in the face of Jesus. And where do we see the face of Jesus? In word and sacrament. But the only reason we can see the face of Jesus in the waters of baptism and in the bread and wine of communion is because the word tells us he is there. So the word of God, that's where the light shines. Psalm 119 says, the unfolding of your word gives light. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yet, we stay away from God's word. We hear the minimum we think necessary because we love darkness rather than light. We hear the word of God as little as we can possibly get away with and study it hardly at all. Why? Because we fear that our deeds and our doctrine will be exposed for what they really are. Of men, by men, for men. We don't want to hear the one who speaks from heaven because it's going to expose our beliefs to be of the earth, leading us to where all the earth is heading. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But we've been baptized. We've been reborn by water and the Spirit. Baptism is not foolishness to us like it was to Nick. It might as well be for all the use we make of it. When someone poses the question to us, how do you know you're going to heaven? What is our knee-jerk reaction? To turn inward rather than outward. We turn to the certainty we can find in our spirit rather than the Spirit of God at work in the waters of baptism. We don't say, how can these things be, as Nick did. But we act that way. Though we've all been taught to make daily use of our baptism, how many of us even do it weekly? Well, Pastor, at least we believe in the only begotten Son of God. Do you? Or do you really trust in some generic God, a supreme deity, a nameless, faceless, supreme being? Maybe your trust isn't even that religious. Maybe your real trust is in money, in medicine, or in men. And that's why your thoughts and your worries, your plans and your future, they're all tied up with those things. You see what grievous and great sinners we are? Well, thanks be to God if you do, because God reserves his sweetest gospel for the greatest sinners. It's in the darkest days of the Old Testament church that the Lord sends Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's when there was hardly a church at all in northern Israel, when the prophets of Baal ruled everything, that the Lord sent Elijah and Elisha. And so it is to the benighted, unbelieving, sinful Nick at night, and to us poor, miserable sinners today, that Jesus speaks that sweet gospel of John 3:16. God so loved the world so very much, to such an extent, that he gave his only begotten Son. But don't just think of that Christmas hymn. Today he opens heaven again and gives us his own Son. It's not just that God gave his Son to the world, but much more importantly, he gave him for the world. The law demands complete, perfect keeping. The Father gave the Son to do that for the world. The law demands suffering and affliction as payment for sins. The Father gave the Son to endure that for the world. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins, Hebrews declares. So either you were going to bleed for your sins, or Jesus was. The Father chose Jesus and gave him over to whipping, beating, nailing, and bloodletting. The soul that sins shall die, says Ezekiel. So either you were going to die for your sins or Jesus would die in your place. The Father chose Jesus and so gave him over to a sinner's death. Holiness can have no fellowship with sin. So either the Father would have no fellowship with you or with Jesus. The Father chose Jesus and so abandoned him on the cross. All this takes place on the cross, lifted up above the world for the same reason Moses put the bronze snake on a pole, so everyone can see it. Are you wondering if God gave his only begotten son for you? Was it for your sins that he groaned upon the cross? Was it for your neglect of his word and his baptism that he suffered so much? Was it for your sinful death that he died? Was he abandoned by the Father so the Father would never abandon you? Well, can you see that cross? You see Jesus hanging there? Then you can know it was for you. It is for you. It will be for you. The Son was, the Son is, and the Son will be forever given to and for you. Look and live. Live, I said, not exist. Live, I said, not get through the day. Live, I said, not keep looking over your shoulder to see if God might be coming to get you after all. Jesus did not say, as so many of you think he did, that there is some condemnation or not that much condemnation. Jesus said there is no condemnation to those who believe on the crucified Jesus. He said whoever believes in him is not condemned at all. No way, ever. You know where the fly is in this sweet ointment of the gospel? You know what keeps you living in, with, and under condemnation? The words whoever believes. I'm sure you heard them prominently in the gospel reading. Everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. You hear this as if your belief is necessary to make God give his son, lift him up on the cross, and make him not condemn you. God's part is giving, lifting up the son, and not condemning you. Your part is believing. To complete the sale, you must add your belief. It's not really done at all if you don't add your belief to it. Context is important. The rest of that opening story I told goes like this. Well, a young preacher found he was losing his congregation, and he tried that same ploy. He blurted out, "I spent last night in the arms of a woman other than my wife." He paused a long time and then said, "For the life of me, I can't remember her name." He forgot the context. We forget the context of this text when we let the words, whoever believes, become the center of it. We forget who's doing the talking and who's being talked to. Jesus is speaking to sinful Nicodemus, who has rejected the baptism of John and doesn't believe in Jesus. Jesus does not tell Nick what God might or even what God will do. He tells Nick what God has done. The words gave, save, and even the phrase be lifted up, they're not future actions. Jesus doesn't tell Nick that God is waiting to give his eternal son, lift up the Son of Man, or save Nick once he has closed the deal by believing. No, Jesus tells Nick what God has done already. The giving of the only begotten Son, the lifting up of the Son of Man on the tree of the cross, and the saving of the world through him is a done deal. Nicodemus and you too are to believe it. Faith is not your work. It is God's miracle in you. Faith is not your work, says Paul, but the gift of God. Faith is not coming to a conclusion based on calculations, arguments, or reasoning. If it were, it'd be no miracle. Who would not believe if it were a matter of figuring out these equations? You plus your sins, that equals eternal hell. You plus Jesus, that equals eternal life. Faith is the opposite of walking by sight, figuring out calculations, following arguments, or tracing out reasons. Faith is what God brings forth in the human heart by his word of promise. Faith is the God-given means of having salvation. It is not the man-made cause of salvation. There's a beggar. He's literally starving to death. You bring him into a room full of food, saying, "This food is yours, eat." Now his eating doesn't cause the food to be there. Eating is the means of receiving the food. You and I are starving beggars. On our own, we're going to starve for eternity. The law convinces us of this. The gospel shows us the Son has been given for the salvation of the world. The gospel shows us the Son of Man has been lifted up in our place on the bloody cross. The gospel says, this salvation is yours, believe it. Our people believing does not cause Jesus, the gospel, or salvation to be there any more than eating food causes it to be present. But believing is the only way to receive salvation, as eating is the only way to receive food. Nick, maybe not this night, but one day did receive. How about you? Amen.